Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today, Bob.
And I just saw him the other day at the U.S. Open, by the way. Doing really well.
The Steelers tight end?
Huh? Jesse James, yes.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, he was at one of the hospitality suites, and I ran into him, and he looks great.
Is he a golfer?
Big golfer.
He is?
Yes, and he has a beautiful family, and I think another one on the way.
Where does he belong, and can he get us on?
Well, I'm going to. I have his number, so I said I'd love to bring you to Chartier, so maybe we can do that. He's a big dude. I bet you he has a big trajectory of his swing.
I bet you he belongs to, the Allegheny Club?
Do you guys know where he went to high school?
The Allegheny Club was from Three River Stadium in 1970.
Well, what is it called?
It's called Allegheny.
Allegheny. Jeez, Bob, I'm sorry.
You left the club out.
What's the big club in Oakland where everybody used to go? Not golf club. The swanky place in Oakland where everybody went and had dinner.
In Oakland?
Yeah. I applied there as a dishwasher once, by the way.
In Oakland. I'm trying to think of where that would be.
Right across from the Cathedral of Learning.
Swanky place. Oh, the Carnegie? No,
a different place. One of our texters will help us at 928-9370. It was a place where everybody went to dinner. All the big banquets were over there. Come on, Bob.
Do you remember back in the day, we used to have after-hours clubs where you can go in and have like late-night cocktails until 4 in the morning if you wanted?
Yeah, Ron used to eat his breakfast at those places. There he is.
Oh, Ron.
Oh, did you love Ron, Bob? Did it rise to the point of you loving him like a family member?
It was almost that way, yes. You know, almost to that level.
What about when he wouldn't talk to you for months at a time?
I'm in a no drama zone of my life. I do not care.
Do you know how uncomfortable it was for me?
Pittsburgh Athletic Association.
That's what it was.
Okay. PAA.
The PAA. You remember that, Bob.
I do, but I didn't know when you asked me.
I applied as a dishwasher there. Circa November of 1989 when I moved to Pittsburgh. It was so uncomfortable to walk in here. Ron had some boiling resentment against you. He would against everybody from time to time, and his move was to cut people off from even saying hello. So I'd pull up outside here. I'm like, oh my God, Bob's here today. We're going to have to go through this again. Then I would walk in. Ron and I would be here. You would walk in, and I'd be like, hey, Bob. Ron wouldn't say anything, but yet I admired you because you just went about your day and didn't even pay any mind to it, and it didn't seem to bother you.
Joe, I've told you, this is something I've decided about a decade ago, that with things that really matter to me, I know what they are, and things that don't, and I can't control what other people say, do, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to waste my time worrying about it.
And yet, yet you still loved Ron.
Sure. I respect a lot of people, and I really like a lot of people. I don't need to have that a reciprocal part of that. If you don't have that same feeling for me, that's fine. I got it.
I do have that same feeling for you. You know that.
Yeah, but I mean, life's too short to be doing this kind of stuff. I like to have fun every day as best we can and move on. No drama. No drama is a great way to live your life.
Yes, it is. Fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Dr. Jeffrey Hathorn joins us next.
Yes.
Let's talk a little U.S. Open. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a bunch of things with Dr. Hathorn next. First, Bob, you have a message for the populace.
And I'm speaking to you on behalf of West Shore Home. This is a great time to talk about home renovations. For a limited time, I'm going to tell you something. This is a great deal. You have a chance to lock in 4th of July savings. So that's free, F-R-E-E, free installation on your new bath if you want, new windows if you need them, or doors. They also have flexible finance offers to make your project more affordable. So there's nothing really not to like here, but I'm going to add something else to it. If you go to westshorehome.com/fan, you will get an extra $500 off your project just for being a listener to our show. So don't wait. This offer will not last. We've extended it a few times, so it's offered for you again. It is the best offer you're going to get this time of the year when you need some home improvement. Free installation, great financing options, and $500 in savings. All you have to do, again, is go to westshorehome.com/fan. See the website for details, but make it West Shore Home.
Dr. Jeffrey Hathorn has joined the fray here on Pomp and Joe. All he had to do was walk right down the hallway. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates Personal Injury Law Firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Jeff did a wonderful job, was all over the U.S. Open. So that's where we begin today, Jeff.
He did.
Wasn't he great?
Always there, looking at it's so providing. Much fun. Yeah, it's one of the greatest things you can cover, I think, if you get in our business here.
He was our Walter Cronkite, our Hunter S. Thompson, our whoever else you want to name.
So much fun.
Our sideline reporter, everything. You were great. But I want to begin with this. The ratings were very low for the final round. Lowest in years, TV ratings.
I'm surprised by that because there was nothing else going on, and I thought people would clamp onto the drama
because
there was drama.
So how did the rain delay affect that?
Well, that's true,
good
too.
Good question. But here is our very own Andrew Filippone on the U.S. Open as an event and how it sort of played maybe nationally, and was it a great all-time Pittsburgh event, as others have said. Josh Rountree tweeted that. This was Pony the other day leading off his show Monday.
It was a dramatic finish in that you had guys also barfing all over themselves and just a crazy leaderboard where guys were bogeying and double bogeying and screwing up and Spawn trying to dodge the landmines that were the Oakmont back nine on a Sunday at the U.S. Open. But let's be honest, this was not a great tournament, but this is going to go down as one of the most forgettable U.S. Opens of all time because a journeyman golfer won it.
That was his point, that, you know, ultimately, or ideally, I should say, to make it a truly great and memorable event, you would have wanted the big names chasing each other, battling each other down the stretch. Your take, Jeff.
Well, rarely does that ever happen. Rarely does that happen. And I think it's as much defined by what J.J. Spawn goes on to do. Has he become a dominant golfer? Not the dominant golfer, but a golfer that wins, multiple tournaments a year over the next five. Then it's like Ernie Els. Who the hell knew of Ernie Els? Or Els is a little younger than Spawn was, or Spawn is. But because Els became a good golfer, that tournament, that result was higher, right?
Elevated, yeah. What was it, a great event for Pittsburgh? Was it a
great
event?
I'm biased because I was there.
Yeah.
So it's hard for me to be objective with this because I think 200,000 people that hung through the rain, that were chanting JJ at the end, and USA when Keegan Bradley, who's going to be the Ryder Cup captain, was there. Like, the energy at the place, given the circumstances of the weather, I think was outstanding. And, I mean, you finish it off with a guy driving the green on a par four and then hitting a 65-footer to win it. It's pretty exciting.
I loved it. And again, I'm like Jeff, I'm a golf fan. I watch these things, but I watch a lot of things. I'm sure we all do. I don't necessarily care who is winning. You know, sure, you want the big names for those who are casual fans. You want to see those guys because that's all you ever hear about. I get it. The effect Tiger Woods had on tournaments when he wasn't there versus when he was. I get all that. But if you're into just the drama of it, the course being what it was, how dangerous. And I also think it's important to value pars and birdies much more than they do on some of these regular PGA Tour stops where 35 under is winning these days. To make the cut, you got to be 12 under par. You know, I mean, it's ridiculous. This puts a value on pars. Pars are good scores. They want to identify guys who just do what they're supposed to do, stay out of the trouble. Yeah, there's trouble. It's only if you hit it that it's trouble. If you don't, you'll be fine. J.J. Spawn was one of the best all week at driving accuracy and putting. You make 431 feet worth of putt in the final day. You're making some pretty good putts.
Well, and I think there are some young players that are going to be around for a while that if any one of those would have won, maybe it's a little bit different. I think Sam Burns is going to be around. He's a 20-something. Victor Hovland, Robert McIntyre, all those guys were in the hunt. And Scotty was in the hunt. He just couldn't make a putt.
Right.
I mean, how many makeable birdies did he miss? And then he three-putted from 8 feet.
How do you guys explain the low ratings?
I do think rain played into it. And I think for as much as there's a group of people that loves to see the carnage, I think there are some that are kind of put off by chipping out of the rough by some of the conditions. So I think that lowers it a little, in my opinion.
Yeah, I do. But I also think the big name factor is in effect. I do think people want to watch the big names go at it. If Rory and Scheffler had battled down the stretch like last year, DeChambeau and Rory did, the ratings naturally are better. So I get that take, and Andrew's fine with that. I get it. But I go for, again, I want to see the best shots rewarded. I want to see how the temperament, how guys handle this kind of stuff. And we saw too many examples of guys who just got angry because they weren't getting what they normally get, which are birdies on par five or eagle opportunities. Some do. Again, you have to be proficient in these tournaments, and if you're not, you're going to pay the price. And then you'll eventually take yourself out of the tournament.
And, guys, I do want to say this. For as much as people might have thought that Oakmont was unfair, I think unfair means no birdies. There were tons of birdies out there if you hit the ball where you were supposed to. And the minute you didn't, you paid. At this week at the Greater Hartford Open or whatever the sponsor, Travelers, you're going to see guys hit it in the rough and then spin it on the green to within 4 feet. You don't pay for your mistakes at some of those courses.
Right.
Unless they trick it up. Oakmont isn't tricked up. You go out there in 2 months and go play it, maybe the rough isn't quite as deep, but the conditions are very much the same.
But also the final scores were not anywhere different than they've been in the previous nine. Take away the first one, which was plus 13. Anywhere between minus five and even or plus five. Those have been winning scores there. So you know going into it that you've got to make sure you stay away from big numbers and take birdie opportunities when you can get them. So that's a different mindset.
Let me ask you this. First, I want to say Social Media's Biggest Loser brought to you by Awaken 180. Visit them at awaken180weightloss.com. Biggest Loser today is any social media site that decided to post the Pirates lineup. It's one of the worst I've ever seen in 50 years of watching baseball. We'll get to that in a minute. I had somebody that Bob and I both know, a golf person, say to me, text me, "Way too much crying over Oakmont by the pros. Spawn one with class. Take your beating like a man," this guy said, if you're out at Oakmont. So I saw that too. I'm like, what a bunch. Not all of them, but a lot. Rory comes to mind, and several others come to mind. What a bunch of babies. You finally get on a course where if you shoot a crappy drive, you don't get penalized for it, but here you do, and you're going to be slamming your clubs and breaking a tee box and slamming a locker in and be a sour face the whole week. Go out and play some golf. What a bunch of babies. Did you feel like that at any point?
Yeah, absolutely. I did, because these guys have the greatest equipment from the balls to the clubs of all time, and they're used to hitting wedges into every par four and having probably a driver 7-iron into par fives. They couldn't have that there. It was a different game. You had to think around there. It's like Johnny Miller said Saturday. He said, you know, I watched DeChambeau. He said, the thing about Jack is he figured out to hit a 1-iron or a 3-wood off the tee to put it in the right place. He said, I watched DeChambeau swing. And then he said, let's just say DeChambeau's watching it on TV today.
Right. Here's the thing. Here's the point about DeChambeau. Number 12, which is almost 700 yards, par 5, okay? The prudent play on a lot of these is not to do what you like to do, which is bomb the ball all over the place. He got over that green in 2 on Friday. What he proceeded to do was take bogey, and he was lucky to make it because it was a 35-footer that he had to make. He got behind the green, which everyone there knew was just very intense, deep rough. Once you fly that green and you're in there, you're not going to have a good shot. So he pretty much threw it over the green into more rough. Chili dipped one in the rough. The prudent play for him should have been, after a big drive, was just get it in front of that green so you could spin something into the green. And he didn't do it because he's Bryson DeChambeau and he wants to play his way.
The thing, and Scheffler said this yesterday up in Connecticut, the thing that makes golf, I think, so unique is that the, I know they play on different surfaces in tennis, but the different courses call for different mentalities and different types of shots. When they go over to the Open, they might putt it from 60 yards off the green because it's a different setup. And that's the beauty of it. You play all these different types of courses, and it's the ones that can figure out that you need to change your game. But the ones that just go and bomb and do whatever they normally do, they're the ones that are throwing clubs or getting ticked off because they're not getting what they're used to getting.
Right. I thought a lot of it was embarrassing. And I think that Rory, in some circles, maybe nationally, until that final putt anyway of the whole tournament, became the biggest story. Why is he so unhappy? The whole golf world.
Family matters. He's got family issues.
Okay, a lot of us have family issues.
That's what I'm saying, but that's, you're asking me, when you're distracted in this game or any game, your mind can take you places. I'm not making
everybody
that as
in
an
the
excuse.
Golf world,
I'm just saying that's, I think that's the reason.
Everybody in the golf world rooted for him to have that career grand slam, was rooting for him, was happy for him, and all he's done since then is lift the leg and pee on everybody, including at the U.S. Open, and I took it as an insult to our town that he acted like that here,
I
that he couldn't get out of here fast enough.
And Lowry was MF and everything he could do too, you know? Come on now.
Jeff?
I think Rory was this, and he said this, after he won the career Grand Slam, and because he chased it for 11 years, he was like, what the hell am I?
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Playing for. He seems like a guy that's just kind of like, okay.
Well, then he should have gone to the Live Tour. If that's what he thinks, I thought he stayed because he has a legacy. He mentioned that at the time. He was the face of the PGA when they said, why are you staying? Because it matters to me, my legacy. He said those words.
So, and that's where his issue with the media is, because he was the guy who spoke. He made himself available. He was the guy when, okay, all this Live stuff's going on. Well, Tiger's not talking. Let's go to Rory. And he feels like he's owed by the media for doing that over those years. So when his driver was illegal in the PGA Championship or tested illegal, he had the same driver as Scheffler. But it was his name that was leaked, and he is furious about that, and that's why he's treating media like he's treating media. I mean, obviously the other stuff is
smashing a tee marker.
No, that stuff's fair game. I'm just saying, for people that look at how he acts with the media, that is where his mindset is.
I get it.
I did all this for you, and now you're pissing on me.
That's pretty.
Do you agree with him? Does he have a point?
I don't think he understands how it works.
Yeah.
You got to get over yourself, Rory. Get over yourself, because this is what it sounds like.
The tough thing for him is, I mean, TaylorMade makes this, so it looks bad on his sponsor. But why is it that his name and not Scotty? Why wasn't Scotty's name released as having an illegal driver? Or anyone else that was playing that driver?
Right.
Why just him? So I guess I can understand his frustration of, like, he feels like he's being picked on.
I think if he's thinking that way, he's thinking the wrong way. All he has to do is address what I said. Listen, guys, there's nothing to that. It's the same.
But he's still got crazy talent. He shot 67 the final round. I mean, it's still there, but I just think mentally he's just kind of like.
I didn't know.
Now, the Open will be different because that's an hour from his home.
Yeah.
Let's see how he handles that.
I didn't know you could not be reprimanded or penalized in any way if you smashed a tee marker in half. Like, I've seen guys throw their clubs and stuff. I didn't know you could damage property like that.
Well, you could not be invited back like Wyndham Clark.
Wyndham Clark.
Is that going to be the case?
Oh, yeah. Oakmont said he will no longer. Now, he would have to be if he qualifies for the tournament. But if, let's say, he wanted to come in 2 weeks before and play around, they'll be like,
right.
No, you're not welcome.
So he had to issue an apology just less than a month ago at the PGA. championship.
And he took a club to a locker, right?
Yeah, what are, two of them in there. And again, that's way after your round is over. I can understand in round if you're frustrated, something happens. Okay, I would understand that more. He had to go through 30 minutes later taking that into the locker room. So he's undergoing anger management apparently now too. So
with Adams, well, with Adam Sandler,
I think he lost when he learned his name was Wyndham.
Yeah,
because school had to be tough for a guy like might have Wyndham.
Been. Might have been Jeff. Another topic we had today: Jeff Hathorn joining us for the 1 o'clock hour. We should be watching, if the game ever gets underway, the doubleheader, Skeens and Skubal today. This should be maybe the best pitching matchup in baseball all season. It would be. There's no better pitching matchup. And we feel like, as much as we may like Don Kelly, that he's the reason it's not happening. It would seem that if he wanted Skeens in this opener today, yep, that would be the matchup that all of baseball wants, that I guarantee you Skeens wants. And it seems like he's opting for, well, we'll have a better chance in game two, Skeens versus undecided. Where do you fall on this? Any blame for Don Kelly, or do you know where he's coming from?
I know where he's coming from. Why have Skeens lose another 1-0 game?
He's going to lose to undecided 1-0 too.
But it gives you a better opportunity to get the win in game two than it would.
But
I get what you're saying. I'm just
don't
telling
your
you,
fires kick
I understand
in?
Their mindset of, let's, Skeens gives us the best chance to get one of these games.
And I get it, but I would hope, and I know Don Kelly is an ultra competitive guy. I would just hope that would kick in for my ball club. Let's go play in one of the highest profile games all season in this sport.
And let's
go.
Beat him. Beat him for Paul Skeens. He's done things for you.
Yes.
Now you wake up and do something for him. I would have loved that too, because I think originally when this came out, they were Skubal's pitching on Wednesday, Skeens on Thursday, right? Technically, they could have put Skeens on Wednesday to go head-to-head. But they didn't do it.
Because they had a day off.
And I understood that. Now, with the rain out, they're both going to pitch today. So why not just do it? Just say, hey, I'm going to match him up.
I wish he would have.
I do, too.
I wish he would have, too. I'm just saying I understand what his philosophy was. Plus, you know, you always start the veteran in the game one of a doubleheader. What a bunch of crap that is. That reasoning to me was kind of like,
Do you have a problem with O'Neal Cruz not playing? I know he's gone
Skubal,
all righties.
Yes. I do not have a problem with him not playing against Skubal. Because Canario
neither do I.
Has played well.
Even though I think he needs to be out there
just about
every day.
I would tell him, like I said earlier, to close his eyes and swing. I would rather have him than Tommy Pham against Skubal.
Well, I agree with that too, though. They don't have many other options, though. What are they doing?
This, Jeff, I'm sure you've seen the lineup, but I'll repeat it for you just in case. It goes Nick Gonzalez, Andrew McCutchen, Joey Bart, Canario, Hayes, Kiner Falefa, Triolo, Pham, and Ron Cook's long-lost son, Billy. Listen, as recently as last week or yesterday or 2 days ago, they've put out horrible lineups. I've never seen a worse lineup than that. The whole lineup has 16, 17 home runs, the same as Spencer Torkelson. That is a horrific, horrific. I bet you if you took AAA, there's got to be if you took the best of AAA, you'd have a way better lineup than that. But there might be some AAA teams that could put more threatening players on the field.
So along with not starting Skeens, they pretty much put a lineup out there that says, okay, we'll go for game two.
I guess.
But what are his options? I mean, it's just.
I mean, I would put Cruz. I'd back Cruz eighth or
look
ninth.
Look at the homegrown hitting talent for Detroit.
And the talent they've bought.
And they're still, most of them are in their 20s.
Yeah.
And then they realize that this is their time to win. And they went out and spent a lot of money.
Yes, they did.
What do you know?
Yes, they did.
What do you know?
Because they have Skubal.
And the right-handed Skubal is Paul Skeens.
Yeah. He'll have Alexander Canario batting cleanup for him later today. All right, Jeff, please stick around with us. You have a little exercise here
based on
ESPN's quarter century team. What if you and I and Bob, this is Jeff's idea, chose a quarter century Steeler team? Bob, are you up to that
sure.
task?
Sure. There are a lot of good candidates.
Why don't we do that? Why don't we do it next, shall we? On Pomp and Joe with Jeff Hathorn.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. What's Cooking, brought to you by your local GEICO rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly. And Fan weather comes to us via Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Hot with storms likely, and a high of Jesse James, which is 81. Jeff Hathorn in. ESPN just put out its all quarter century football teams. They made some outrageous picks. LaDainian Tomlinson, not among your top three or four running backs, was insane. But Jeff has an idea. Let's switch this to Steelers since the year 2000. Jeff, please take over.
So we will go through all the skill position, pick the best offensive lineman, but we'll start at quarterback. Is there any question here?
I mean, Kenny Pickett for sure.
Well, I have to get my mic on first. Yes, no question.
All right, so Ben Roethlisberger, quarterback, your running backs. Jerome.
How many do I get?
Two.
Okay.
Jerome is easy. Who do you guys have as number two?
Le'Veon Bell.
I would say that too. I hate the way that ended and I hate how it got, but as far as strictly running ability and what he, Le'Veon Bell.
All right, I agree
with that. Did Jerome do his best work in the 2000s?
It didn't matter. He was still in the, conversation.
Because he's a Hall of Famer and won a Super Bowl in the 2000s.
I think he still had some great years. I'm just trying to remember what he did.
Willie Parker would probably be the third option.
Willie Parker's an underrated guy, but I go Le'Veon. You?
Mendenhall
had some very good years.
He did.
He didn't just go off the crazy train.
I can't even remember who the running back. Oh, Najee was the running back lately. Yeah, not much there.
Speaking of Willie Parker, how about this? This is according to Alex Cazora. The last time the Steelers scored an opening drive touchdown was in week one of 2008.
Opening drive to start a season.
It almost seems like
score an opening drive touchdown in week one.
Yeah.
2008, Willie Parker had it.
It almost seems like it's been that long since they started a game that way.
It does.
Like
it's been at least a year.
At least a year goes back to last. Yeah.
All right. Wide receivers.
Well, Antonio Brown.
Three. Okay. Antonio Brown.
Has to be.
Hines.
Yeah. Still
for
there.
For sure. Oh, boy, Jeff.
The third one's interesting.
This is one of those where it's like, oh.
Oh,
I went with Santonio.
Boy. Santonio. Absolutely Santonio.
Yeah. I mean,
but yes. Plax, Mike Wallace. Juju all had more receiving.
Yeah, but Santonio did what
Santonio
none of them did.
Won them a Super Bowl.
A Super Bowl MVP and all that stuff.
Yeah, and I'm not just talking about that catch. That whole playoff, he was unbelievable.
He was.
Yeah, I'm taking him. Good one, though.
Tight end.
Well, there's no other conversation on him.
Best offensive lineman during that time.
That's a good question.
Holy ostrich milk.
I'm going to go Pouncey.
Oh.
But Faneca still is my, he was still around.
Faneca's
to when?
Gold jacket.
Yeah, I mean,
and he
it's
did
hard to go
most
against.
Of his work
yes.
in the 2000s.
All of it.
It's Faneca.
Yeah, it's Faneca.
For me. And Pouncey, I'll tell you who's not
good.
Far behind is DeCastro.
Yeah, but wouldn't you put Pouncey ahead of DeCastro or not?
At the height of their power, maybe. Maybe not.
You know who's underrated in all this, and he was here a short time, was Hardings at center.
Really yeah. good. Yeah.
He was very good for them. Defense, nose tackle, Casey Hampton, no objections.
No objections,
unless it's Mount McCullers.
Defensive tackle.
Cam.
Cam.
And there's two.
Mm-hmm.
Are these defensive tackles or defensive ends?
I'm going to say
Aaron Smith.
Aaron Smith's a good one.
Who am I missing?
I was thinking of the guy who...
Kiesel, Tuitt.
Stephon Tuitt was my pick. That was the guy I was thinking of.
He had a ton of talent.
If he had just continued to play, I know he had his, you know, stuff with the family and everything, and he walked away. He just walked away. We haven't heard from him since.
I'm going with Aaron
He was
Smith.
Really good.
Yeah.
Outside linebackers, fairly easy.
Two of them? Harrison and Watt. Very easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see the Harrison video, by the way, that was posted about, I don't know, when last night?
Called Kiesel?
No, where Josh Miller walks in and says, how many James Harrisons would it take to beat a silverback gorilla? And he was lifting, and then he put it down and said, two. Josh goes, why two? He says, well, one's got to film it.
That's pretty good.
That's a great line.
Anytime this comes up, though, I have to plug Lamar Woodley, who I think got
postseason-wise, he had numbers that no one else had.
The greatest, who is the greatest sacks per game artist in the history of the National Football League in postseason? Postseason sacks per game. It's him.
Yeah.
It's not Lawrence Taylor.
He had multiple.
It's not Bruce Smith.
It's not Reggie White.
It's Lamar blanking Woodley.
Here's the thing. Harrison and Watt each force 33 fumbles.
Yeah.
Wreaking havoc.
They're inside, the obvious choices.
Inside.
It's unquestionably, for me, the Farrier Pigeon.
There's two of them, though.
Who's the other?
Who's your second? I'm going with the guy who ran with him for about 6 years, Lawrence Timmons.
Yeah, Lawrence Timmons is good. Whatever happened to Lawrence Timmons, by the way? He's gone out.
How about Lawrence Foote?
That's
a good one, but I'd give Timmons.
How about Ryan Shazier? Who, in terms of talent, might have been the best of the bunch.
Unfortunately, the injury took that out.
Kind of like the Gale Sayers. If he would have been in the league.
And he would have been, but.
Well, are we going resume?
Don't you have to do resume if you're talking about the best?
This was our same Jack and Tiger debate. Which nobody would doubt that Jack had the better resume, but if the question is who was the better player at the height of their powers,
Jack.
You say that, but a lot of people would say Tiger. So,
who would you say, Jack?
If you're asking me who were the two best inside linebackers for the Steelers since the year 2000, for me, it's James Farrier and Ryan Shazier.
I disagree with that only because of, you know, unfortunately, he would have, but I got to look at what did happen. On the field. That has to be a big consideration on this. But how would you answer Jack Tiger?
Jack.
Thank you.
Jack.
It's Ohio State, you know.
Jack.
I know.
I mean, Jack finished second.
19 times in major.
But again, that's stats and resume, which I get.
Although I will say this.
But again, he didn't play at a time when media was so.
Who's better, Gale Sayers? This isn't Jack Tiger. This is different. Who's better, Gale Sayers or Frank Gore?
Okay, I understand that point. If you're talking about dynamic player, we could talk about dynamic player if you want.
I'm just talking about pure greatness. Who was
you could make the argument that Frank Gore should be in the Hall of Fame based on his career.
I think Jack played against mentally tougher players than Tiger did. Those guys were playing.
But Tiger, to his credit, wore them down.
We only have 48 seconds.
Right. Well, whoever says that is a moron.
Safety.
See, here we go. This is
safety.
Sean had to, instead of all this stuff going away, it's a bring it up.
By Sean.
Palomalu and Minka, safeties? Or
clearly.
Do you put Ryan Clark?
No. I love Ryan, but no.
Ike and who?
Wait a second. Ryan Clark was a hell of a player.
He was. I'm not saying he wasn't.
Palomalu and Clark.
Oh.
I'm not.
No, I have
the
to go.
The impact plays are Minka.
I know.
Corner, Ike and who?
Ike and, that's a good question.
I have
because
Deshae.
Holy horse. Oh,
now you're going.
I have Joe Hayden.
McFadden.
Joe Hayden.
Hayden, I guess. Hopefully it's Joey Porter Jr. as this conversation
Who's your punter,
goes on.
Jeff?
Jordan Berry.
Who's your kicker? Boz, right?
Has to be Boz. Nobody
would have been Reed up until a couple years ago.
You have another hour and a half. Who's your coach? Cowher or Tomlin?
I didn't even want to broach
offensive
that subject.
Offensive coordinator.
There
have been Matt a lot
Canada.
Of those.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right, guys.
You're
have
a
wonderful day.
And you're a spiritual guru. You're a philanthropist. You're an example everybody in the country.
Joe's out the door to play golf. Have a good one, Joe.
See you guys. Thank you, Sean. That was
great. Bye, Sean. Don't
call
me.
Give us one more Dom, the intern, drop before you say
goodbye. He's in the building now.
I love that kid.
Moron. Well, whoever says that is a moron.
Of course, I'm a moron. That's what it is.
Insult Bob.
Yes, he did. Bye-bye.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.